Great, thank you. Good evening. I'd like to call to order the Genoa Township Board of Trustees meeting in Delaware County, Ohio. This is a regular trustee meeting. Today's date is February 1st, 2024, and the time is 6:30 p.m. Donna, can you call the roll?
Trustee Vaughn.
Here.
Trustee Antonetz.
Here.
Trustee Goodman.
Here.
Also present is our Assistant Fiscal Officer, Donna Batten, in for our Fiscal Officer, Pat Meyer, and our Acting Deputy Director of Road and Buildings and Grounds and Parks, Lauren Fitzpatrick, our Fire Chief, Joe Ponzi, who's also our audiovisual guy, at least for the start of this meeting. So if you can hear us, he's already doing a great job. And Joe Schaefer will be here shortly, our Director of Zoning and Development, and Paul Wise, our Township Administrator, and our Communications Director, Leslie Strader, is also here. And filling in for our Police Chief is Lieutenant Lyon. So with that, Lieutenant Lyon, will you lead us in the pledge? Awesome, thank you. Thank you. All right, I'll turn it over to Donna for the fiscal report.
Thank you. Good evening. First item on the agenda are the approval of trustee meeting minutes, the January 4th reorg and the January 16th special trustee meeting.
I'll move to approve the January 4th, 2024 reorganizational trustee meeting and the January 16th, 2024 special trustee meeting. Do I have a second?
Second.
Discussion? Roll call.
Trustee Goodman.
Yes.
Trustee Antonetz.
Yes.
Trustee Vaughn.
Yes. Motion carries.
Our second item are the 2024 permanent appropriations. We've received our first certificate of estimated resources from the county, and none of the appropriations that were submitted in December by the departments exceed those. So at this time, I ask the board for the approval of the 2024 permanent appropriations in the amount of $27,754,899.58.
I'll move to approve the 2024 Genoa Township permanent appropriations in the amount of $27,754,899.58, effective January 1st, 2024. Do I have a second?
Second.
Discussion? Roll call.
Trustee Goodman.
Yes.
Trustee Antonetz.
Yes.
Trustee Vaughn.
Yes. Motion carries.
Okay. We have a purchase order. This is the Internal Service Fund for medical expenses. When we made some adjustments to the temporary appropriations versus the permanent appropriations, I need to add some funds to the 6001, the Internal Service Fund, in the amount of $548,000.
Okay, I'll move to approve the annual blanket purchase order in the amount of $548,000 for medical expenses. Do I have a second?
Second.
Discussion? Roll call.
Trustee Goodman.
Yes.
Trustee Antonetz.
Yes.
Trustee Vaughn.
Yes, motion carries.
And then last item on the agenda is to schedule the Records Commission meeting for the year 2024. We are proposing 6 p.m. It would be the night of the April trustee meeting, if that works well with you, Trustee Vaughn. You sit as the chair of the commission.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. I'll get everything out to the department heads, and we'll work on any changes. And that's all for the fiscal.
Thank you, Donna.
Thank you.
Next is public comment. Anybody from the public want to speak? Okay, seeing none, we'll move on. Trustee comments. Anybody have anything?
I don't have anything.
I have one request.
Okay.
I'd like to ask my fellow trustees if for our next meeting on March 7th, we could delay the start of that meeting until 7 p.m. instead of 6:30, instead of starting at 6:30. I have an irresolvable conflict that between that and getting here on time isn't likely going to happen.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. You're welcome.
I'll post the notice.
I was going to say, if I show up early, I guess it's better than showing up late. So if I forget, I'll just be here super early.
It.
No problem.
Thank you.
7:30, correct?
Seven.
Oh, 7 p.m.
Thank you.
I have a couple things. Source Point classes, we've been kind of doing them. February, we're going to skip. We have almost offered every class one time at least. So, based on attendance, I'm not sure if we'll continue to do this. This is kind of for the public, if anybody's listening, if anybody has a request for off-site Source Point classes, please reach out to me. We're just kind of still feeling out this process. But in March, we're going to start a six-week class that is held every Wednesday starting March 6th and ending April 10th. It will run from 1 to 2:30, and it's a grief support, thinking beyond the five stages. This is something that hits home to me, having lost a father and a sister. My mother does grief share at her local church and has for a few years now, and I just think if there's local people, especially I think in the wintertime with the winter blues, it's just kind of a good thing to offer the community. So I hope it's successful, but we'll see. So I just want to advertise that will be happening in Genoa in the Township Hall. And then also, before we get to Leslie, I want to propose, I know last meeting we had talked about who is going to be the chair. I'd like to propose something. I don't mind being the chair of these meetings, but I would propose that Trustee Antonetz be the chair of trustee zoning meetings. Would you be okay with that? You want to think about it?
I don't know how that would work.
I think I would just say hand it off, right?
Yeah. Just that part of the meeting.
There are certain meetings though where if it's sometimes it's combined, very rarely, but most of the time it's a separate meeting for us. So you would just run it.
I'm okay with that. I think there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. Well, I don't know why we can't.
He's just leading the meeting.
Right. Okay.
Would you guys want him noted as chair in those meeting minutes?
However, we ought to do it. I don't care. Do we have to make a motion for that?
Well, he still is technically vice chair. He's just leading the meeting, so okay. I'm not sure.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, that anything would really change.
Okay. All right.
Thanks, I think.
No, thank you.
Congrats. All right.
Thank you. All right. Without further ado, Leslie and I have been, well, it's mostly Leslie, let's be honest, has been working on the State of the Township Address for the last month. So we want to present that now, if we can get it to work. But I just want to thank Leslie for putting this together and doing all the legwork.
A place in space, a point in time. Genoa Township, Ohio, 2023. Like every year before it, roads were paved, lives saved, neighborhoods patrolled, permits issued, ballots cast, time and talent gifted. The year held special significance for the fire department as their 50th anniversary was celebrated. The zoning department processed 357 zoning permit applications. The Zoning Commission acted upon 4 cases, and the Board of Zoning Appeals decided 16 cases in 2023. However, their most significant accomplishment was amending the Comprehensive Plan and Zoning Resolution to address long-standing community concerns regarding residential development densities. Symbolic of the new era of the department, a portion of the old police station was demolished using grant funds. Shortly thereafter, a new chief, James McMillan, was appointed following the retirement of Stephen Gamble. Also part of the Genoa Township family is therapy dog Maverick, who completed certification, enabling him to finally get to work at Westerville Central High School, just like his big brother Rocky at Genoa Middle School. With a focus on safety, the maintenance department installed 7 new rapid flashing beacons and 4 digital speed limit signs. 15 roads were resurfaced for a total of 9.42 miles. Fun is also of top importance to the maintenance department as they oversee the township parks. A playground renovation at Township Hall has reinvented the space, attracting many residents to the park. Over at Hillmar Park, a walking path was paved encircling the pond. Special events are another fun part of township life that help residents feel a connection to their community and develop a bond between us. The township hosted its usual event in 2023 with a couple of new additions. The egg hunt was transformed into a bunny hop where participants could engage without worrying about age limits or a heated competition. The firefighters' annual toy drive was celebrated with Santa himself at a renewed township event at McNamara Park featuring crafts, cocoa, and a tree lighting. These accomplishments were shared with our community throughout the year in real time on a new improved website. A successful year with many achievements is no surprise. Residents have come to know Genoa Township is consistent and reliable. If you examine each achievement in more detail, you'll see stories revealed about the people who make Genoa Township so special. A woman advancing in a traditionally male field.
It's been a very busy 2 years. I started out as a maintenance worker with the township. And in 2023, I was approached with the opportunity to become the deputy director and be Bob Matthews' right-hand lady. So I took that opportunity and currently filling in for Bob while he's been off for a little while as the acting director. I have a long history of my family being involved in either highway maintenance or heavy highway construction. So it kind of runs in the blood for me. So I took on this adventure back in 2007, and I loved it. I started out as an apprentice with the state, and my career has grown from there. I've done many, many different jobs and projects throughout my 17 years. And I would say Genoa by far is definitely my favorite place, and I've definitely found my home here. My department accomplished quite a bit this year. We're very proud of the hard work we put into our parks, keeping our parks maintained and beautiful for the community to use, which in turn resulted in our levy being renewed this year. So that's a huge accomplishment for us, and we're very proud of that. We also completed hundreds of customer service requests.
A paramedic walking into a stranger's home to save their life.
On this particular run, when the radio communicated that the CPR was in progress, it's like, okay, just dial it in and do what we do.
You know, everybody was doing CPR, and we had an airway placed, and the tube had sort of a breathable room. So we were controlling that. We were doing chest compressions. We'd given some medications. And shocked him, I believe, 3 times. And moving to the truck, we had some markers pop up on the monitors. We're moving, and we knew something's working in our direction.
They marked it as a time marker on the radio. So I was with the wife. Again, I put her in the SUV. We're lined up chasing the medic to the hospital. You know, and here's a lady who's describing to me she's not ready to give up. You know, she's not ready for this to be over. And, you know, and you can tell that they had a special relationship already. And you know, so when I got that message over the radio, I don't know if I could say it was, you know, about my feeling, but seeing her face to be able to say, hey, listen, what that means is he does have a certain heartbeat, but we still have a long road ahead of us, you know.
Okay, we've got a heartbeat back. Everything seemed great. It's now up to, you know, the hospital and the powers that be to make that next step. So we clear a hurdle and we're back to another that the outcome that we got was the outcome that happens to everyone, but the odds just aren't there.
A deputy chief with sights set on achieving the next higher rank.
So 2023 was a big year. There was a lot of transition. I started 2023 as a lieutenant and ended 2023 as a chief of police. It was a fast-paced year. So I started here when I was 21 years old. Been here for a little over 24 years now. Started as a volunteer police officer, and then part-time, full-time, and worked my way through the ranks over those 24 years. During that time, I spent time on the Delaware County SWAT team and worked in a lot of different specialty assignments. So I was affectionately to everybody. I was born and raised on the west side of Columbus, but I grew up here in Genoa Township. I understand what the residents expect of us, and the residents can expect that that service is not only going to continue, but even enhance as we move into the future.
A volunteer giving time and talent to the community they love.
So I live in Genoa, I volunteer, and I work at in Genoa. So my high school, a long time ago, we got some eggs from the township, and we started putting all the candy in there. And then after high school, I decided to start helping out. It's just the people are so nice.
A business owner investing in a vision.
My name is Dan Vino. I'm an Uber transplant. Moved over here with my wife 3 years ago. We're Genoa residents, and we love it. We're standing in 6463 Maxtown Road. It's a beautiful property of ours, and which is going to actually, right now it's a residential, it's going to be turned into commercial music rehearsal facility, which my wife and I own in New York, and we're looking to expand it over here with this magnificent property over here. The name is Multisound Studios. So what we do is we facilitate for musicians. We set up a workshop for musicians, people in the creative field, bands, solo drummers, DJs. And they come and they rent a room from us on a monthly basis. And then they set shop there. And the emphasis is on silent insulation and making sure that, there's no bleeding between rooms.
Genoa Township didn't just happen. Genoa Township was created over the course of more than 200 years with the hands of thousands upon thousands of individuals, each leaving their mark on the history of our community. I am Renee Vaughn, Chair of the Board of Trustees, serving alongside Connie Goodman and Mark Antonetz, and our fiscal officer, Pat Meyer. And here we are, 2023 has faded into 2024. I am proud to say that the state of our township is strong.
Not talking into my microphone. It's not on. She came up with this idea, and I, wasn't sure how it was all going to fit it together, but she made it happen. I think it was great. A little bit of a twist on the traditional state of the township, so thank you.
Yeah, excellent.
And all the staff who cooperated, thank you. All right. Moving on to administration with Paul.
Board and happy Ohio Township Day.
Thanks, Paul.
First off on the agenda, we have two change orders for the old police station demo project that need to be paid. Simply, these were generated while waiting on the State of Ohio demo grant to be approved and authorize us to pay the vendors. So these two orders are 8 and 9 and to be paid to Greenhouse Construction.
Okay, I'll move to approve change order number 8 and authorize a purchase order in the amount of $12,186.80 and change order number 9 and authorize a purchase order in the amount of $6,570.71 to Greenhouse Construction LLC for additional interest fees in accordance with the contract approved June 14th, 2023. Do I have a second?
Second.
Discussion? I'd just like to thank Greenhouse Construction for being patient with us because, yeah, we did the best we could.
And these two will make them paid in full.
Okay, great. Roll call.
Trustee Goodman.
Yes.
Trustee Antonetz.
Yes.
Trustee Vaughn.
Yes. Motion carries.
Thank you. Also in your packet this evening, I have been approached by Delco Water. They're planning another project where they would assist in their new standpipe to have another route, a duplicate route getting over to the new water tower. They're asking the township for an easement that would allow for a water line to be placed on the south side of our community gardens project, just slightly north of the gas company easement. So what their plans call for is a large diameter pipe to be buried. And I said, well, the problem is that we have a community gardens there, and your drawings are calling for the very southern tip of the last garden plot to be dug under. And so I said, would you be willing to, if the board grants this easement, would you agree to doing construction during the fall and winter after the gardening season is over? And they agreed to that. They agreed that they would move the fence, do their construction, put the fence back, and replace any disturbed dirt back to the gardening condition. So I thought that's reasonable enough to help for this project, because it's going to help our residents. So if the board's interested in moving ahead with this plan, I can have them draw up the easement papers.
You're saying they'll do the project this fall?
In the wintertime. Winter, yes.
Okay, once the garden's closed, but when they're finished, are they going to put everything back the way they found it?
Yes.
Okay.
That's, we'll photograph before they begin and say, here's what it needs to look like.
Anybody else?
There were some gardens that had perennial plants in them. Do we know if the impacted plots will have perennials? Because that would be much more detrimental to that plot user than if you had annuals.
Well, we can definitely tell the renter of this plot, if you're going to do perennials, keep it on the north side of your plot, because it's only going to be the south end of his plot that gets, the corner is going to get clipped.
It's only one plot?
One.
Yeah, unless they've already got something planted there would be my only concern.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I think we need to find that out. If you can work with maintenance to figure that out, that'd be good before, you know, in the meantime.
Yep.
Okay.
So if the board's acceptable by consensus, I can draw papers and have a motion at the next meeting then.
Yeah.
Everybody good with it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did Mark, they compensate the township for this?
They'll give us a dollar. Easement, as like the gas company and everybody else that gives us easements, we in return pay a dollar for our easements, so it'll pay for one of our easements. Okay, next up, I just want to report to the board that last Thursday, I attended the closing of the property at 6142 Lewis Center Road, and luckily I had our prosecutor with us, to Mark Fowler. I brought him with us because you never know what's going to happen at a meeting like this. So there was it was a double closing that was planned. The sellers were going to, in turn, use the funds that they were going to be transferred and buy a property. And their sellers were in the lobby waiting on our closing to complete. Everything went seamless. Donna and Pat transferred our funds from general fund and our ARPA funds down into the closing agent's account, except the state, their funds didn't go through.
Oh, no.
So after that, Mark Fowler was needed to draw up an agreement with between the two parties that we would sign off on papers but not do any of the deed transfers. So we waited this week, and I bugged the state agent, the state people, for a couple days, and they finally, on Wednesday, they transferred funds
into the account, and so all the transfer officially was done yesterday. So I'm letting you know that yesterday marked the day where we don't take possession, but yet the ownership changed. So.
Okay.
Next up on the agenda is part of that was our portion of the grant, and our assistant fiscal officer would like to explain some of the technicalities of how to take. We are supposed to book the grant money through our funds and account for it in our books. So she's now going to take over this technical fiscal end.
This is simply the state's portion, the $1,354,935. This evening I need the board to establish an OPWC fund for the purpose of the Freeman Farm Preservation Project improvements. After that, you will set the appropriation for the exact dollar amount that the state paid on your behalf. And then we will issue and then an out purchase order for the exact amount that's paid to the title company. It'll be all complete wash in and out on the books, but because of OPWC grants, this is how we have to handle it.
You ready for me to approve?
Any questions?
Okay.
No. Good?
Okay. I'll move to establish a capital project fund to account for the Ohio Public Works Commission grant monies in accordance with Section 5705.09 of the Ohio Revised Code. The purpose of this fund is to account for the related revenues and expenditures for the Freeman Farm Preservation Project improvements. Do I have a second?
Second.
Discussion? Roll call.
Trustee Goodman?
Yes.
Trustee Antonetz?
Yes.
Trustee Vaughn?
Yes. Motion carries. I'll move to approve the 2024 permanent appropriation for the Capital Project Fund, OPWC, fund capital outlay in the amount of $1,354,935. Do I have a second?
Second.
Discussion? Roll call.
Trustee Goodman?
Yes.
Trustee Antonetz?
Yes.
Trustee Vaughn?
Yes. Motion carries. I'll move to authorize a then and now purchase order to Cornerstone Title Agency, LLC, in the amount of $1,354,935 for the purchase of property for the Freeman Farm Preservation Project improvements. Do I have a second?
Second.
Discussion? Roll call.
Trustee Goodman?
Yes.
Trustee Antonetz?
Yes.
Trustee Vaughn?
Yes. Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you, Board. Next up, I had a request from the Orange Township Administrator to reappoint her to the Land Bank Board. I forward this on to the board for your consideration. If you wish, you can resolve to fill that position this evening.
Okay, I'll move to appoint Michelle Boney to serve a two-year term of the Delaware County Land Bank Board effective January 1st, 2024, with a term expiring December 31st, 2024. Five. That says two-year term. So is that 2026? Or is it a one-year term?
No, it's the end of 25. So it'd be
sorry. Thank you. Do I have a second?
Second.
Discussion? Roll call.
Trustee Goodman?
Yes.
Trustee Antonetz?
Yes.
Trustee Vaughn?
Yes. Motion carries.
Thank you. That's all I have.
Okay. Thank you. I'll turn it over to police. You can come up to the podium, or you can sit there and turn on the microphone. All right, I like it.
All right. Good evening, Board. I'd like to respectfully request the Board to accept a donation from the Genoa Township Citizen Police Academy Alumni Association. It's a big mouthful,
yes,
a great
is.
Acronym, though. The Alumni Association has put together five themed gift baskets. Some of the themes are food, spa items, sports items. The Alumni Association would like to donate them for the police department to pass out as door prizes at our upcoming awards banquet. The approximate value is about $75 for each basket.
Okay. I'll move to graciously accept a donation of five gift baskets with an approximate value of $75 from the Genoa Township Citizens Police Academy Alumni Association to distribute at the police department's annual awards banquet. Do I have a second?
Second.
Discussion? Roll call.
Trustee Goodman?
Abstain.
Trustee Antonetz?
Yes.
Trustee Vaughn?
Yes. Motion carries. I'd like to thank the Alumni Association,
yes,
for putting all this together.
We have some members represented here today as well.
And I assume that's why you abstained.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Thank you. Thank you, board.
Yep. All right. Thank you. Next, fire.
Good evening, board. Just a few items for you this evening. First is a request for you to accept the resignation of firefighter paramedic Peter Isbell. Pete rendered his tendered his resignation to us on January 3rd of this year. Pete's been with us 9 years, and he is leaving employment with us and seeking employment in another field of endeavors, mainly the construction field. He has a family connection there that I think is going to work out very well for him. So I would ask for the resolution to approve his resignation, please.
Okay, I'll move to accept the resignation of full-time firefighter paramedic Peter Isbell, effective February 8th, 2024. Do I have a second?
Second.
Discussion? Roll call?
Trustee Goodman?
Yes.
Trustee Antonetz?
Yes.
Trustee Vaughn?
Yes. Motion carries.
Thank you. Secondly, on your agenda would be a resolution to establish a 56-hour employee policy. Basically, this policy is to address the battalion chiefs specifically. This is a policy that basically states how their rules and regulations, because they are not union members, but they still work that unusual 24-hour shift like the unionized firefighters. The policy was created so that we have guidance on their benefits, their days off, et cetera, how that is earned, how it's used. Back in the fall of 2020, when I proposed and the board granted the approval of the creation of the battalion chief position, after that, I wrote the policy, and in full transparency, I was told to write the policy and enact it, and I did, and I should have come to you all and asked for approval of the policy. So I'm here in front of you this evening asking for a resolution to approve the policy regarding the 56-hour non-union employees.
Okay, I'll move to enter into a master service. Nope, wrong one. Sorry. I'll move to establish a 56-hour employee policy retroactive to March 1st, 2021. Do I have a second?
Second.
Is there discussion? Okay, roll call.
Trustee Goodman.
Yes.
Trustee Antonetz.
Yes.
Trustee Vaughn.
Yes. Motion carries.
Okay, thank you. And the last item. Now we can jump into the master agreement. With respectfully request for consideration for a resolution to approve the fire department to enter into an agreement with the organization called Lexipol. I'll try to break it down very shortly. Lexipol is an organization, a nationwide organization that was founded by probably one of the foremost risk managers in the law enforcement side, and then has bridged over into the fire and EMS side. They're very astute in their risk management policies, and a couple of the things that this proposal brings to us is we give them, from the fire department, every policy, procedure, standard operating guideline electronically. They review them. One of the biggest things that this brings to us, it's a legal review, and to make sure that all of our policies, procedures, and SOGs are in accordance with state law in the state of Ohio. And then it's a review if we have redundancies or we have opposing policies, like you say something here, but in another policy you say something here. We work out what that discrepancy may be. And then along with that is it's anything that we have under our contract with them is under constant review. So whenever there's a change of law in the state of Ohio, we're notified. And then they make recommendations to us of, hey, we think that your policy should be changed to say this. This is in accordance with law, et cetera. And along with that is we get out of them several opportunities for training for our employees. So we get sent to us from them training topics and reviews of policies where we get proof by, like, read documents that the employees have received the document for review, they've read it, et cetera, et cetera. So it makes sure that we are current. One of my goals to you all in 2020 was to review all of our standard operating guidelines, policies, and procedures in a number of years. And we've been working at that steadily, but we still haven't accomplished it yet. And in this day and age, I think we're all aware of how legal things are. I thought it was best that we have another agency that looks at our policies and SOGs for legality and also gives us back the training aspect. And there's a couple different training aspects we get out of this. I don't want to get too far in the weeds while I try to explain this to you. But the other nice part of that is if you look in the proposal, there's two different line items in there on the prices. And besides the implementation fee, when you get into, it's probably about the sixth page in, we get reimbursed from our insurance company, which is the Ohio plan. So when we enter into the agreement, we pay the fee to Lexapol for the yearly service. And on year one, we get a 50% rebate of that fee. So the first year's fee is $10,241. We get a rebate or a refund through the Ohio plan of $5,120. On year two of that same fee, we get a 30% rebate. And on the third year, we get a 20% rebate. Just because Ohio plan believes it's a cooperative agreement that Ohio plan has with Lexapol. Obviously, they support the program, and our insurance company sees the value of us having this agreement with Lexapol. So I think it's a win-win for the fire department and for the township. And I'll stop talking.
Okay. I'll move to enter into a master service agreement with Lexapol to review and make recommendations regarding the fire department's policies, procedures, and standard operating guidelines and authorize the fiscal office to issue a purchase order in the amount of $25,214.10. Do I have a second?
Second.
Discussion.
Yeah, I have a little bit. I did read through this. I appreciate you taking the initiative to minimize risk is essentially what we're doing. What I don't, I still struggle with this payment structure. There's numbers with a table on page 5 of 5 that don't match this email from Lexapol. I don't quite understand it. If you could just walk me through the year one, year two, year three, I get it. That's what we're our cost. Then what happens after year three? We enter into a new agreement?
We would review what the new agreement fees would be and decide whether we want to continue with the program. So we're entering into a three-year contract, which we are able to break if we decide to break at any time. We are able to break that. I have received that through our sales representative. But most agencies that I'm aware of that have started with this program have not backed out of the program except due to a financial hardship where they were having to cut funds that just cut where they needed to. And I think Rich probably aware of agents, local law enforcement agencies that use Lexapol also.
Is there a penalty if we were to cancel the contract early?
From, I don't have that in here, but from my understanding from the sales representative, there is not.
Okay. The other question I have is, do any of our other departments have this, and should they, especially police?
We're currently accredited through the International Commission of Accreditation for Law Enforcement, CALEA. So that's a yearly assessment they do. We're actually in that process right now for our year four assessment for reaccreditation. So they're doing a remote assessment of all of our policies, proofs, operating procedures. And then once they sign off that, hey, we meet those standards and are following the standards, then they actually have an assessor come on site the first week of April. They'll come on site for 3 days and do interviews with department staff, elected officials, prosecutors, and then we go before the commission in July for final approval for reaccreditation. So it is similar to Lexapol. I don't know of many agencies that are CALEA accredited and also do Lexapol just because of the duplication process. But I do know a lot of agencies that are strictly Lexapol for sure.
Okay, good. That's good to know. And you're not, the fire is not offered the opportunity to do this same type of program, and that's why we're
There is a fire department accreditation program that is similar to the law enforcement accreditation program. When I looked initially at the costs associated with the accreditation program, I thought dollar for dollar, this was a better program for us. Just please take that for what I thought this was the better choice for our organization. To answer your other question, Mark, they do offer services for total government agencies. So be happy to reach out to our sales representative, whatever the outcome is this evening, and say, could you give us an idea of if we wanted all the agencies with or the whole township administration covered and reviewed, what that would financially look like. I'd be happy. Obviously, you got a pretty good working relationship with our representative. I'm sure she'd be happy to provide at least some numbers that I could forward to you via email.
Paul, what's your thought?
Well, we really don't have like a SOPs through maintenance or parks or anything like that. I know we're about 99.5% finished with the policy manual rewrite. I know it's been a while from our legal advisor, but what he tells me that probably is going to be here next week for your review and approval sometime in the future. So I don't know if that benefit would benefit us because we don't do a lot of SOPs with the maintenance stuff and parks and communications. So
I think my reason for looking into something else is it is taking too long to get our revision to our current personnel policy. So if it's not this, maybe something else. I don't know. But I'm willing to look into it. That's all I can say.
I can be happy to ask our rep. Yeah.
I think it's worth asking.
And see what she says that they could provide to us. Mm-hmm. And at least forward that to you and let you mull it over. I'm happy to do that for you.
Yeah, I'm always in favor of more information than less. Not enough, you know, too much versus not enough. So I'd be interested to know what they would offer.
Write a proposal.
Okay.
Any other discussion?
No,
questions?
That's fine.
Okay. Are we ready to vote?
Roll call. Trustee Goodman.
Yes.
Trustee Antonetz.
Yes.
Trustee Vaughn.
Yes. Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chief. Next, I'm going to turn it over to zoning.
Good evening, trustees. Connection on the one TV. Wonderful. I actually have a few items on the agenda this evening. The first is related to a discussion that occurred the last meeting regarding regional planning. So it's a request to approve the purchase order for the dues for regional planning for this year in the amount of, and of course I don't have it right in front of me, but that's $15,000 and I can't remember the exact number.
179.
Thank you very much. So I know there was a lot of questions that came up about the topic regional planning. We touched on it a little bit, but it was pretty much a fresh topic. And I've now had the opportunity to obviously put together some materials for you. So, but before I get into that, I know there was materials in the packet and I have prepared a PowerPoint presentation I can go through shortly. Try to keep it as brief as possible, but I did want to make you aware that, a couple hours ago before this meeting, we did receive an opinion from the prosecutor's office regarding the topic of whether we can withhold or reduce the dues that were owed to regional planning. Since that was a topic brought up at the last meeting, I had, after the last meeting, I had a discussion with Orange Township about the topic, and they had mentioned, oh, we've been advised that we have to pay the dues, that we're obligated to. So then Mimi said, oh, I better look into this, making sure we're having correct information. So I reached out to the prosecutor's office, took them a little time to research, but they made me aware of an attorney general opinion from 1994, which, while it's not revised code, we're always told that the attorney general opinions by the state are as good as law, and that opinion is that you can't withhold or reduce the fees of your own accord. The commission can change the fee structure, but an individual member can't. And the prosecutor's office advice is to honor the AG's opinion and operate consistent with it. So with that, I will jump into the PowerPoint presentation, but again, I seem to have lost TV connections, so you're gonna have to bear with me just a moment. Actually, Joe, it's this one here. So let's see if I can get it back up and running for you. Apologies for the awkward silence. Okay. There's one. There's two. And one more.
I had it working good until you got here.
Yep, I touched it. See, that was the problem.
It.
Leslie and I, we had
a yeah, you guys were on top of it. All right, well, so this is a lifey slideshow, but I promised Trustee Vaughn I'd keep it under 10 minutes and someone can ring a bell if I go over. So I'm going to skip over some of the specific verbiage in this and try to keep it just sort of high level, because I know the board knows a lot of this information, but I know the public doesn't, because the Regional Planning Commission is not really an agency the public has a lot of interaction with. So basics, it's been around for decades. You can see the general purposes there: growth management, planning services, providing communities information, coordination, and involvement of all regional activities. The Regional Planning Commission does not dictate or control growth, force, or mandate zoning policies within communities. They don't provide legal advice, and they don't supersede the authority of the zoning inspector nor the trustees of any township. And I should mention, I forgot, I'm currently serving as the chairman of the Delaware County Regional Planning Committee. So here's the structure. Consists of members from every, appointed reps from every community. We're governed by the revised code as well as our own set of bylaws. There's an executive committee, which I'm on, as part of my chairman role. It's four members elected by the commission as a whole annually. And then the county commissioners also have a member that they appoint to it. So it's a five-person committee total. And the staff at Regional Planning is currently four people: the executive director, an executive assistant, a GIS manager, and a senior planner. Budget, the revenue is basically comes from fees and dues. Then there's some contracted services and some other miscellaneous items that come into play there. Expenditures, obviously people, material supplies, service charges and fees, capital outlay, and grants. Budget, I'm not going to go through all of this, but you can sort of see in the trend, and this will obviously be a public document for anyone who wants to see it. Unfortunately, for this year, we're a little bit in the red. The construction slowdown and the slowdown in development, thanks to some of the economy and some of the inflation that's hit that industry too, caused them to pull a little bit less money in than we had anticipated for this year. But it somewhat works out because our carryover funds had been higher than they really should have been. So we're going to eat into that carryover a little bit. But the good news is the expenditures exceeding revenue seems to be somewhat of an anomaly. So here's the trends going all the way back to 2013. And you can see the dark green line is the revenues. The light green is the expenditures. So as you can see, most years leading up to this year, revenues exceed expenditures. This year's going to be just a bit of an anomaly. You can't see that bar getting closer, though, so it is something we're keeping tabs on going forward. So there's that number I should have had in front of me before, that $15,179. That's our dues owed for this year. The dues basically contribute to the fair share cost of the operations needed to provide the services regional planning provides, which benefit the region, elected officials, township staff, and residents either directly or indirectly. It also gives us representation and voting power on the commission per the bylaws. We get a certain amount of work for free each year of documented work hours, and then a lot of other just sort of non-documented consultation throughout the years through phone calls. We get all sorts of membership on various regional boards. I'm not going to go through all of them, but regional planning attends a lot of these meetings on our behalf, so saves us time and in some instances money in terms of having to join or be a part of these groups directly. Again, moving on, the staff services. There have been countywide regional plans in the past. The last one was in 94. Since that time, the preference seems to be each community wanting to sort of have their own comprehensive plan and then regional planning just sort of overseeing and trying to coordinate and making sure they all work together. And then they're also involved with numerous county-level plans, thoroughfares, strategic planning, or strategic transit. You can see them all listed there. They sit and are involved with and help with all those plans. And they also assist members, including us, with writing their own comprehensive plans and zoning resolutions. One of the biggest things they do is probably the administration of the subdivision activity. It's a function that lives at the county level by revised code. Regional planning is sort of the heart of it. They oversee the county subdivision regulations. The engineering department has their own regulations pertinent to subdivisions, and as does public health and regional sewer and all that, but regional planning is really where it comes all together and ties all those strings together. They also review, in addition to subdivisions, rezonings, site development plans, comprehensive plans, zoning resolutions, and variances. However, these are variances to the county subdivision regulations, not variances to the zoning. They don't do any reviews or involvement with any of our BZA cases. They also do a lot of data collecting and warehousing. It's almost too much to list on the slide there, but obviously the census, demographics, all of that. And all that information isn't just used by my office, but we use it for all sorts of things we do at the township. You know, I've been asked for how many houses do we have for communications materials. I go to regional planning to pull the number. We do all sorts of grants, police, fire, parks. Those grants require a lot of information, data about number of houses and this and that and the other thing. And I field those calls internally and I say, here's a great resource. The Delaware County Regional Planning Commission has all of that covered for you. So it's a lot. So I'm going to just flip through. Some of these are just pictures. These are screenshots from their website, publicly available, of all the data, or at least some of the data they have just for Genoa. So this is the dashboard they have for the 2020 census. Community profile, again, Genoa specific. Population trends and key indicators. Employment overviews. Healthcare system overviews. Key indicators that impact planning. And I know it's sort of hard to see that, but there's population and poverty and health and senior populations and school enrollment numbers and all of that. Here are trends you can see over the years in terms of building permits, keeping tabs of the development pipeline, how many lots have been approved, how many have been recorded, how many have been built on, where they're at in the process. These are population projections. Again, I know these numbers are really hard to see, but they update these annually, if not more frequently. And frankly, I think the population numbers and projections we get from regional planning are more accurate than those we get from the census. The census, you know, is looking at the whole country and has this model that works for the whole country. Regional planning is able to work with more specific real-time data. And they obviously know the county, they know the region, they know exactly what's going on and can give us much more refined numbers than the national census can. Staff services, we get an annual report. And all these blue texts are all links. So if anyone gets this in like a PDF form, you can click on these and it'll open up pertinent information. Again, they represent us during the National Decennial Census. That's actually, we have to submit paperwork and answer to them. Usually a trustee gets appointed to that. I believe it was Trustee Goodman last time. But Scott basically said, I've got this handled for you. And he basically did it for all the townships in the county, as far as I know. Participates in parks and trails planning. They put together a lot of educational resources and media. They have libraries for comp plans and zoning stuff and anything you could ever want to know on that topic, and then some. Contacts list. GIS is huge for them. They have one whole person dedicated to it. He's been there for, gosh, I think the late since the late 90s. Dawee, he's great. Does all sorts of mapping. And when I say mapping, I think people think, oh, they just hit print on a computer and the map spits out. I don't think anyone, unless you really know GIS or have worked with it, you don't. There's so much time-intensive labor that goes into building the data tables, drawing the data layers, the shapes, and then manipulating that data, querying that data to actually make sense on a map. So there's a whole bunch of online maps. You can see all that work. Again, I'm not going to click on them for the sake of time, but you can see developments, the zoning maps for each community, comp plans, parks and trails, historic features, economic development, and even more under the map gallery of items they put together for us. Here's some, again, just some illustrations, zoomed out screenshots of some of those maps. So you can see how colorful and pretty they are. And again, I'm just going through real quick, so don't take up too much more time. I promise we're near the end. So again, more staff services. These are just some of the specific Genoa maps we've asked for that I could remember. I know we've asked for more than this. Like one of the one was during the our bicentennial celebration, they did a historical features map for us. It may have even, I don't know if it got put in the time capsule, but I remember it got distributed out to people during that event, or made available at least during that event. Again, resources, they help administer a grant assistance program for planning assistance. They also will enter into contracts with the member communities or any even a non-member community for services that go above and beyond the normal scope that membership may otherwise allow. Do training sessions. I was just at one actually Wednesday. Zoning, we call it the Zoning Inspector Roundtable. We talk about just various topics, things that are going on, refreshers, we get to coordinate, so those are always good. These are they have these meetings every month. So there's site plan review, aka sketch plan, where someone basically says, hey, I have this idea. Can you send it around to all these county agencies and the township, collect some initial feedback, and we can sit down and talk about it and let us know sort of what you like, don't like, what's going to work, not work. Technical review is for the plans that have actually been submitted via application, like subdivisions, where staff goes through with and all the county agencies sit down and tell the applicant, okay, here's the things you need to address on your subdivision plan. Executive committee, obviously, is dealing with more the administration end of the commission's business. The regular monthly meeting, and then, like I said, we mentioned the roundtable meetings, and then if we need to form a subcommittee meeting or subcommittee, we have meetings for that as well. Voting, each dues payer member has one vote that they're entitled to on any item that comes before the commission. I will say it's general practice for all the members to abstain on any item within their township. So even we technically don't have to, that's generally the case. So if a subdivision or a rezoning application for Genoa Township comes in, when I'm there, I always just abstain on the vote for that and let the rest of the commission make that decision. So in terms of voting, the votes on subdivisions, the subdivision variances, extension requests, and other such administrative matters are final and binding. Votes on the rezonings are recommendations only that get sent back to the township zoning commissions for their consideration as part of their larger review process. And regional planning staff makes recommendations to the regional planning commission, but as a whole, but they don't vote on anything, just like I don't vote on any matters that come before the trustees for consideration. And this is just the final slide of some additional resources. Again, put this together just in case we post it or someone gets a PDF copy of it so they can click through and look at all that. So I hope I kept it as brief as you wanted. So I think I have talked enough on that topic. So perhaps I should turn it back over to the board for any questions or discussion.
Perfect. Anybody have any feedback?
I got a few of them. One mm-hmm. is all that information is available even if you're not a member, correct?
Yes.
I'm trying to figure out what is the direct, if you're talking to the public and we're spending $15,000 of their money, what is the direct benefit to the township? Because if that's available to everyone, then that's not a direct benefit. We can do that for free.
It's a great question, and one I expected that we would cover. Basically, if it's fair sharing the cost that makes the production of that work possible. So it may not be produced exclusively for us behind a paywall, but if we don't pay the dues and other members don't pay the dues, absolutely, that information goes away. Because, okay, well, or it looks different, or what regional planning is, how it functions, changes, and at that point, we're crystal balling into things that I can't really predict. But
aren't they also funded by the county commissioners?
No, most of the mostly dues and fees.
Okay.
And a few other things.
So
I can't remember if the county pays dues as part of their membership.
Right.
But a substantial part of the budget is dues and fees.
Okay.
Can you, and as briefly as you possibly can, I guess I'd like for you to summarize to the public the benefit to you and your staff.
Yes.
And can you do your job without it?
No, we can't do our job without it because we cannot, at the township level, process subdivisions.
Okay.
That's statute.
Which is what they want here.
Yep.
There was a mention of grants in there. Have we ever used them for grants?
Data. We've used data
to support your grant?
Yes.
You have, Chief Ponzi? Yes.
Our recent two federal grants that we received, reached out to Joe, and we mined data for those grants.
Okay, I don't have any.
Nothing, yeah.
Well, it just seems to me that if we don't pay this, if others don't pay this, it's going to go away, or it's going to go someplace else. And if it goes someplace else, we may lose any input or control as to what we need, how it functions, et cetera. And I become very concerned over that. If we don't do it, if people don't pay their fair share, and it can no longer be a viable entity, where does it go? Does it go to the county level and somebody else runs it that may have different priorities than our township? You know, we're already hearing rumblings. We got a couple emails the last couple days about the townships, about housing and how it may change, how some people are trying to get rid of the township being able to control so much of their own destiny and taking away referendums and so forth. This just pushes that envelope and says, you're taking away our voice one more place. I think this is money well spent. We get a lot for this, and I can't see not paying this. I think the ramifications would be too great if we don't.
Anything else?
Yep, I'm done. Off my soapbox.
It's a good soapbox. I want to clarify, if I sent the wrong message last month, I have never been opposed to paying this fee. It is more about, if we're paying this fee, and I've talked to Jill about this, it's not even about the resources. I think the resources are great. It's the actions by this entity that they rubber stamp anything that comes before them, for the most part, and it comes back in whoever it is. If a township gets sued, that's the first thing they quote is regional planning approved it. So it's just used as a badge of courage or honor or whatever, however you want to say it, to developers if they approve it. And I'm not saying that development, yeah, sure, they should approve some. But there are some that they are approving that violates a township's comprehensive plan or zoning resolution, and I think they need to have some balance in check. So I know Concord Township has asked for a meeting in February. I'm hoping that regional planning will reach out to Concord. Concord has asked that every township be invited. I hope they take them up on their offer, because I would like to be part of that conversation. It has never been about the quality of what they provide or the fee. It is the actions. Mr. Wise.
Just had an interesting point, and I didn't know it till I saw the slide, that one of Joe's slides says that the actual regional planning is a group of people who are voted in. They're made up of township trustees and others. Scott Sanders does not get a vote. So it's also peer group. You know, you need to preach to your peer group at the township association meetings, et cetera, because they are the members who are part of this, along with the zoning people who are participating.
Yeah, so we're always happy to get feedback on, you know, how people are feeling. I mean, that was, I was, that concern that was issued by that one township, I was a little surprised to hear it because it was a pretty formally raised, and that was the first, again, I'm the chairman, I've been on executive committee for a few years, and I've been on Regional Planning Commission as a voting member ever since I got hired here 8.5 years ago. That's the first sort of general notion of a serious concern that I had heard, so it was pretty surprising, and I echo Mr. Wise's statement that it's not staff voting on it. It's representative from Genoa and Orange and Porter and Kingston. There's 30 of us, I mean, total, if everyone shows up. And several of them are from county agencies. So the decisions being made are being made by countywide people, appointed by those communities. So I feel like, you know, I'm happy if Genoa wants to take a harder look at how Genoa's voting, and if the board wants to give me feedback on how you'd like me to start viewing some of those items, you know, happy to do so. But I can only represent Genoa. I can't control how Porter's going to vote or Kingston or any of the other entities. So it could be 5 people voting that way, but if it's still 25-4, you know, that's democracy in action. And I'm not sure, but democracies all the time make decisions that not all of us are thrilled with, but that is the process that the statute has put into place. I think regional planning is looking at reaching out to Concord, and I'm sure they'll be happy to have anyone else involved with those conversations if the meeting is organized. But there's only so much the body can do because it takes a vote of the body of the commission, just like it takes a vote of the body, majority of the trustees, to get anything done. The majority of the commission is going to have to be in agreement with those sentiments for anything to change. And I will point out on the votes, do we flat out deny stuff a lot? No, I would say no, we don't. A lot of things we do, though, that aren't administrative are conditional approvals. So instead of flat-out denying, we may say there may be 4 or 5 conditions. One of the conditions might be reduce your density from 1.8 to 1.4. If the developer isn't willing to do that, if I'm a board member and I see an applicant not willing to do that, to me that says, well, according to regional planning's conditional approval, I should deny this because they're only recommending conditional approval if that density has dropped. If that density doesn't drop, you make the logical conclusion that then regional planning would say, no, you should not approve that then because they didn't meet one of our conditions. So I think some of it is a little bit of wording and how you view it. So I've had some talks with the executive director about maybe changing some of that verbiage and some of the recommendations to talk about consistency with zoning resolutions, to talk about, do we use approval with modifications instead of conditional approval to better match the revised code verbiage, things like that. So also on the zoning resolution, you know, regional planning's job is to fly up here, look high level. There's communities that want them to review a plan against every single word of their zoning resolution, and that's just not really the charge. That's what you have people at my level, like me, doing for you. So I know they look at the zoning resolution when it comes to divergences that are requested as part of the rezonings. But in terms of, you know, going through and counting shrubs in a landscaping plan, that's not the charge there. They fly higher than that.
Okay, if we could bring this back down. I have been in front of this commission dozens of times. I've never been turned down. And I think they are reluctant to deny, first of all, I don't think it's binding at all. It still goes back to wherever the agency it came from, whether it's the township or a county or
well, that's the case with the rezonings. I guess the subdivisions go to the commissioners, yeah. Correct.
So ultimately what they're doing is it's just a second set of eyes, and they're looking at how does something that's being proposed impact the region more than just the township, and then let the township ultimately make the decision. That's just my experience there. Most every application I've done has been approved with, you know, conditions, and then we get to review the conditions and decide if we agree with the conditions or not, because it's not binding, for what that's worth. And we don't pay for those applications. The applicant pays for the application. That 15 and change is all we pay.
Several years ago, I was the alternate for Mr. Schaefer, and so I attended a couple of those meetings, and I found the same kind of thing. But they, you know, they, again, were very high level. It sounds to me like we've got two issues here. We've got the resources that they offer and the money that they charge, and then we've got how they write their reports, as Mr. Schaefer alluded to. And that's a separate discussion in my mind. Maybe that will, you know, if this group comes together, maybe that can be worked out. Maybe it's a case of, you know, we as the DCRPC recommend this subsequent to review and vote by townships or whatever. But I don't think that, in my memory anyway, we have personally in Genoa Township had issues with them approving things that we thought were inappropriate. So I want to see us be a leader, not a follower. And I think to not pay this would be detrimental. I'm not saying that that group shouldn't still meet, but that's a different discussion.
Well, according to Fowler, we don't have any choice.
Exactly.
But I haven't had a time to read that since we just got it, so I would like to review it. And this isn't due until April, so I would be in favor of just pushing it to March so I can look at Fowler's ruling, because I was able to skim it very quickly, but I haven't been able to read it.
Well, just for clarification, the prosecutor's recommendation is basically they didn't interpret the law. They basically said, we recommend you follow the Attorney General's opinion from 1994. Yeah. They're not coming up with their own recommendation. The Attorney General wrote that opinion. Their recommendation is go with the Attorney General's opinion.
I agree with the chair, but these legalese things I got to read like 10 times before I understand them. So I would appreciate some time to.
Yeah, so if we could just push this to March, I'd be ready to vote at that time.
Okay, if everybody guarantees that they will be ready in March, because we're kicking this can again and again.
Yeah, we have a choice. I mean, from what I see, we don't have a choice. If we're members, we pay.
Sure, but I understand. You just got it. You want to read it?
But I don't understand the rush in voting on it in February when the bill isn't even due until the middle of April.
No, you're right.
And that's fine.
Absolutely.
Okay. But I just want to say in March, yeah. I want us to be ready to make a decision, make a vote, and not push it again.
As long as nothing new comes up, I'll be ready. Okay.
Sure. Yeah. Sounds good. All right. Second item of business should be shorter. This is our standard acknowledgement and scheduling of a public hearing. this is regarding the multi-sound. I'm not going to read the whole thing. This is regarding the multi-sound studio project. You approved the rezoning
back for final
late last year. Coming back for final. So it's the standard. The Zoning Commission recommended approval 5-0 back in about a month or so ago. In December, so we're basically, in January, excuse me. So now we're just looking for a motion to acknowledge that recommendation, and then just tell me when you want to have the hearing and when you want the materials, please. And thank you.
So I'll move that the Board of Trustees acknowledge the recommendation of the Zoning Commission's approval of ZC2023-07 Multi-Sound Studios Final Development Plan. Do I have a second?
Second.
Discussion? Roll call.
Trustee Goodman?
Yes.
Trustee Antonetz?
Yes.
Trustee Vaughn?
Yes. Motion carries.
And I'm sorry. I think that was 202306. That might have been the typo on my part.
Okay. Do you want me to amend my motion?
The subject of the subject line of the memo is correct. I put the old case number in there.
All right. I'll amend my motion to 06. ZC02.
2023.
Sorry. ZC2023-06.
And I'll second again.
Thank you. Do we need to vote again, or we're good?
You're good.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, so, sorry about that. The numbers are right, but the way it's worded in there is confusing.
So when do we have to hear it?
Within 30 days of the acknowledgement tonight. So when you factor in advertising and the availability of the applicant, the two dates that I was aware of that might work were February 21st or February 22nd. Those are Wednesday and Thursday, respectively.
I'm okay with either one.
Yeah, me too. Anybody have a preference?
I don't have. I'm open to either evening. We can do it like 6:30. Does that work for you?
Yeah. Sure. You want to do it on the 21st?
Sure.
5 p.m. on the 21st, is that what I'm hearing?
Mm-hmm.
And then in terms of the revised materials, I can't imagine they're going to make a lot of revisions. They probably mostly just have to make copies at this point of everything.
Say 5 or 5:30?
I'm open for whatever.
Let's do 5 then.
I'd probably like to have the materials no later than the 9th. That okay. way, once we run the advertisement, and if anyone sees it and says, hey, I want to see that, we have it.
Okay. So you want me to read this for the record?
That's good.
No, you're good? Okay.
Yep, that works. Next item on the agenda is actually not as related to zoning, but it did fall under me. So I was asked to help Administrator Wise on this project, and so I did. You have before you a purchase order request in the amount of $37,800 to Roofing One for the installation of a new roof over the entirety of this building. You can see the quote there. So just to give you a little quick history, the section over us is 10 plus years old. The section over the other half of the building is original, so that means it's over 20 years old. We have continuously had a leaking problem over the fiscal office. We've tried to patch it numerous times, hasn't worked. The insurance company tried to come out and look for the problem. They told us there was no problem. The fact that the wood is warped and falling off and that there's water everywhere
tends
to indicate differently, though.
The whole thing was curled.
So Paul and I talked about it. He asked, and we sort of internally as staff talked about it and just thought it made more sense just to replace the roof in its entirety. I talked to the gentleman from Roofing One. He said the algae warranty on the 10-year shingles is already expired, and you'll never be able to match the colors if you do it section by half by half. He said especially in 2020, even if you get the same color, the mixtures and stuff change, so it's not going to match. And then also, that way the entire roof on the entire structure is synced up on one replacement schedule, which hopefully we will never have to do it again in any of our careers here with Genoa Township. So if we get this done this year. So that's basically the proposal. We did go out. We didn't do an official RFP. First, we were just sort of solicited quotes from a couple of local roofers just to see what the numbers were going to be for the purposes of the budget last year. And then we talked to some people, got some advice on what to look for and what to do and what to say when we're talking to some of these roofers. They also gave us the name of this Roofing One company. This gentleman is actually a township resident. He actually did the section that we're currently sitting under when we did it over 10 years ago. I believe he may have done the McNamara picnic pavilion as well as the fire station, correct?
Done some work for the
fire department. So he's very familiar with Genoa, and also, he was the lowest number to come in. The first numbers we got was like just under $50,000 for this. And Paul and I were actually sort of happy with that because we're like, oh, well, good. It's under the bid threshold. And, you know, that's great. And then we kept getting more numbers in, and they kept going lower and lower until we got this one. And I think this is a pretty good price by a local roofer who's done work for us before that we can trust. So that's why we've presented it before you this evening asking for approval.
Okay, I'll move to approve a purchase order to Roofing One Incorporated in the amount of $37,800 for the roof replacement on the Township Administration Building. Do I have a second?
Second.
For the work that this person has done in the township before, I guess you're satisfied? Work
yes,
has been good?
I'm very satisfied. Like I said, this was an insurance claim 10 years ago, where we had a lot of shingles blow off, and I forget what year it was, well, 10 years ago. And then he's done a patch job over the kitchen area. We had a leak over there. There's one above the IT room that he's fixed. He's done a lot of repairs, good repairs. And when we thought we were going to turn in a claim, the investigators from the insurance company couldn't find a leak. I know it's there. Everyone knows it's there, but they just cannot find it. So it's when the roof freezes, it's so funny. There's a big round circle above Donna Batten's office.
The strangest thing.
What are you doing in your office, Donna?
Me and Joe were discussing something in my office the other day, and the water is just dripping, and I'm like so distracted. I felt so guilty. I'm like, oh my gosh, no, the water. Paul touched it one day, and it just went. Oh, I mean, it's crazy. It's the most bizarre thing. No one's been able to fix it.
So, being good stewards and occupants of this building at this time, recommending replacement of the roof.
Is there an attic above your space?
It's a crawl space. Yeah, there's nothing finished or anything.
Anybody been in that?
Yes.
Is there mold?
The adjuster went up there with flashlights. He couldn't find any mold.
It would be interesting because when you look, I go into my office, you can kind of even see, like, I don't know if it's just where the water is going in back behind as well. Sometimes I wonder if there's another issue.
Actually, Donna, I do have one question for you on the fly. So we're approving this amount, but there is the part about they'll remove and replace any bad decking, but they don't know what that's going to be. So the replacement pieces is materials cost plus $20 per sheet to remove and replace. So there is a chance this number could go higher if they find some bad decking. That's standard, by the way. Every time I've had a roof done, that's the standard language they put in there because they don't know what they don't know.
As long as you don't exceed $10,000 beyond Paul's approval.
Okay.
If that happens, we'll have to take it to the board for their approval.
Okay. I also want to make sure the board knew that.
Yeah.
Technically speaking, the actual cost could be a little higher depending on the condition of the decking.
But that would change regardless of who's doing the work.
Correct. Yes. Yeah. Anyone is going to tell you the same thing on a quote. That's pretty standard.
Interesting enough, it's a 50-year shingle that we're purchasing, which is really nice. Mm-hmm. So, and a 3-year workmanship warranty from the contractor.
Anybody else have questions, comments? Okay. Roll call.
Trustee Goodman.
Yes.
Trustee Antonetz.
Yes.
Trustee Vaughn.
Yes. Motion carries.
Thank you. The final item, it's that time of year again, annual appointments. Leslie, as always, did a great job of collecting all the applications, pulling all the information together, and sending out the packet to you. Since I have two of these boards sort of live under the zoning world, historically we've done interviews for some of these, so I guess I'm here again this year to ask the board how you would like to proceed with this process for 24.
Well, I'd like to schedule
a meeting.
Yeah, a meeting, but do we go ahead and, we just need to do a meeting first. Yeah,
which we did last time.
Yeah.
We've done it every time.
You want to, like, have an internal meeting before you start talking to anyone? Is that what we're
saying?
Yeah,
I guess okay, so. Yeah. That's what I was wondering, if we schedule interviews or do we, we just need to schedule a meeting first.
I think that's what
first.
You've done in the past, is you sort of talk together first.
And then we interview what we determined. Yeah. You okay with that?
Sure.
We can
that's
do it
fine.
On that February date if you're up
there. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, you must have scheduled something I missed when I wasn't here.
No, just the zoning.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Yes, we could do that same night. Yep.
Yeah, we can
that
do that.
That would be an executive session, so mm-hmm. we could do it after.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what date was that?
Works
for me. We decided the 21st.
Yep.
Yeah, okay.
All right. That's all I needed from you, unless you have anything for me.
Nope.
Thank you for the time.
Anything else from anybody else?
Just requesting an executive session to discuss office reorganization.
Okay. I'll do announcements. February 6th and March 5th, Fire Advisory Committee. February 7th and March 6th, Parks Advisory Committee. February 8th, Communications Advisory Committee. February 12th, Zoning Commission. February 19th, offices will be closed for President's Day. February 27th, Board of Zoning Appeals. And the next regular trustee meeting is March 7th, 2024. So at this time, I'll move to adjourn to executive session at 7:54 p.m. to consider the appointment, employment, discipline, promotion, demotion, or compensation of a public employee. Do I have a second?
Second.
Discussion? Roll call?
Trustee Goodman.
Yes.
Trustee Antonetz.
Yes.
Trustee Vaughn.
Yes. Motion carries. We're adjourned to executive session. All right. I'll move to return from executive session to regular trustee meeting at 8:24 p.m. We have a couple of items. First, I'll move to a...
No, we got both.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes.
One second.
Yes. Thank you.
Second.
My kid's calling me. I'm all distracted. Roll call.
Trustee Goodman.
Yes.
Trustee Antonetz.
Yes.
Trustee Vaughn.
Yes. Motion carries. All right, now I will move to approve the administration office reorganization and the promotion of Dina Brown to the position of office manager at an hourly rate of $25 per hour effective February 1st, 2024, and Donna Batten to the position of assistant fiscal officer slash human resources at a rate of $40.87 per hour effective February 1st, 2024. The office reorganization will be assessed in November 2024. Do I have a second?
Second.
Discussion?
Do we want to add to this the change on the org chart as part of this motion?
Do it separate.
That's separate?
Yep.
Okay. Then I got nothing.
Okay. Roll call.
Trustee Goodman.
Yes.
Trustee Antonetz.
Yes.
Trustee Vaughn.
Yes. Motion carries. Paul, does this have to be a motion or just a statement?
I would make a motion.
Okay.
So on the org chart, Trustee Gooden pointed out that a logistic error on one of the under the maintenance director, it shows that the grants manager works under the maintenance director, when in actuality, the position should report to the township administrator. So I'd like to ask the board to... change the direct report of the grants manager to the township administrator.
Okay, I'll move to move the direct report of the grants manager from the maintenance director to the township administrator. Do I have a second?
Second.
Discussion? Roll call.
Trustee Goodman.
Yes.
Trustee Antonetz.
Yes.
Trustee Vaughn.
Yes, motion carries. So at this time, I will move to adjourn this meeting at 8:27 p.m. Do I have a second?
Second.
Roll call.
Trustee Goodman.
Yes.
Trustee Antonetz.
Yes.
Trustee Vaughn.
Yes. Motion carries.
We're adjourned.